In the States, if I take a boat tour that costs $50, it really costs $60 because I need a tip. When I get a $70 massage, it's really $80 or $85. This burger is not $12, it's $14 or $15. It can be $13, but then I'll get dirty looks and I'll feel like an asshole. And what's up with these iPads asking for 15 or 20% tip after no service? Those weren't around the last time I came home.
Why should we decide your wage?
In no other industry does the consumer decide what they'll pay for a product or service.
Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. Like that intro? Probably depends. I feel like when I talk to people about tipping in the US, either they dislike it and think it's awkward, unnecessary, and way too expensive, like Drew Binsky in our intro. I'll provide the link within the transcript. Or they think it's wonderful and are convinced that our tipping culture makes our service so much better. So what do you think? Is tipping common in your country? Do you think it makes service better? In today's episode, we'll talk about how tipping became part of American culture and talk about how much is standard to tip for different services. I'd like to go further than that, though. Would it ever be possible for the US to transition into a no tipping system? Have restaurants ever done that? As always, we'll start with a joke. Once again, it's hard to tell a joke when I know you might not understand it. But like last week, there's some great wordplay. So first, I need to teach you one word, dough. Dough, D-O-U-G-H, is a mixture of ingredients that forms together in a mass, and you use this to make cookies, right? You use dough to make bread or pastries. But dough is also a funny American English slang word for money. So let's say an acquaintance invites me to go to Hawaii for the weekend, just for two nights. My thoughts might be, oh, wow, that's expensive, right? I don't have the money for that. But to keep the situation light and not so serious, I might jokingly say, I ain't got no dough. Right? Which is horrible English, but it's a funny way to say, I don't have any money, right? I ain't got means I don't have. So let's go ahead and tell you this joke. Question, why is dough another word for money? Any ideas? Because everyone needs it. Get it? So what's funny about this is that there's a word play on the word needs. Needs, N-E-E-D-S, and needs, K-N-E-A-D-S, are homophones, meaning that they sound the same, but they're spelled differently. Needs, N-E-E-D-S, means required, right? Or it's necessary, right? I need a coffee, like it's necessary that I have a coffee. Whereas needs, K-N-E-A-D-S, is a verb that means to massage the dough before you cook it, right? We need dough before we cook it. Kneading dough helps gluten form, and that gives bread its texture, right? So everybody needs dough, right? They massage it, and everybody needs it, right? They require money. So let's try that joke once again. Why is dough another word for money? Because everybody needs it. All right, on to the expression of the day, to give or put in your two cents. Your two cents is your opinion or advice. We give our two cents when we share our opinion, we voice our opinion, or we add some advice to a conversation. If I'm in a group discussion and I want to share my opinion, I can say, hey, do you mind if I give my two cents? Or do you mind if I put in my two cents? This is an incredibly polite way to say, hey, is it cool if I share my opinion? Maybe John goes to the bathroom and you say, oh, did John want to have an input? right? You could say, oh no, he already put in his 2 cents, or he already gave his 2 cents. He already shared his opinion. All right, so let's go through some more examples of this just to make more sense of it if it seems a little bit confusing. Example number one, let's imagine that I want to take a trip around the world and I have no money, right? No dough. I've got no dough. And I tell you about my plans or my lack thereof, and you think to yourself, wow, that sounds risky, Shauna. So you could ask me, hey, do you mind if I give you my 2 cents? Right? Do you mind if I give you my opinion or advice on that matter? I may say, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me whatever you want to tell me. It's all good. And go ahead and share your tips on how to find cheap or free accommodation. Or you can tell me how to travel the world with little to no money. That would be very nice. All right, so let's go through 2 more examples. Example number 2. Imagine you're traveling with a group of people. I don't know, let's say in Paris. And everyone is arguing about what activities they want to do. Half of the group wants to go on a day trip to go visit Giverny, the place where Monet painted those pretty lily pad paintings. And the other half wants to stay in the city and walk around, maybe have a picnic at the Luxembourg Gardens. So while everybody is arguing, you speak up and say, hey, I'd like to put in my 2 cents, right? I'd like to voice my opinion or state my opinion on the matter, right? And so you put in your 2 cents, you say, let's split up. Let's break up into 2 groups and we can all do what we want to do. Right? Example number 3. Last year, my good friend Nina got married. She's my best friend and she lives in Berlin. And she gave me the honor of being her maid of honor in her wedding. And so I also landed the responsibility of planning her bachelorette party, right? I was responsible for her bachelorette party. And the thing is, I don't know Nina's friends very well. So I set up a WhatsApp group and messaged all of them, inviting them to put in their 2 cents, right? I asked them for their opinions. Then the responses started rolling in. Let's go to Barcelona. Let's go to Amsterdam. How about let's go hiking in southern Germany? Or what about a water park? And I was honestly so overwhelmed because everyone gave their 2 cents. Everyone shared their opinions and they were all so drastically different. I ended up booking a lake house near this super cute town in northern Germany, but I learned my lesson. I will never ask for everyone's 2 cents. Disaster. Now it's time to work on your pronunciation. We'll use the expression, I'm gonna give you my 2 cents. Repeat after me. I'm going to give my 2 cents. I'm going to give my 2 cents. I'm going to give my 2 cents. You can also say here, I'm gonna give my 2 cents. Gonna is, of course, the reduced form for going to, right? And this is very common in American English. All right, let's go ahead and work on your conjugation. I gave my 2 cents. You gave your 2 cents. He gave his 2 cents. She gave his 2 cents. We gave our 2 cents. They gave their 2 cents. It gave its 2 cents. So if you want to improve your American pronunciation, visit the website, AmericanEnglishPodcast.com, and you'll find the American English Accent course. In that course, I teach the fundamentals of the American English accent with word and syllable stress exercises, intonation exercises, and I do a lot of pronunciation videos of fine-tuned vowels. Those are those very difficult ones that most likely do not exist in your language, right? That are very, very specific to American English or just English in general. And so there are a lot of shadowing exercises as well. So check that out. Hope you enjoy. Let's move on to the topic of the day. We're going to be talking about tipping, and we'll start by talking about where tipping culture came from, and then we'll move on to how to tip properly so that you don't feel uncomfortable when you're in a restaurant or when you're getting any kind of service done, right? So I'd like to start with a story though, a personal one. About 7 years ago, I was at a rooftop party in Brooklyn, New York, and I met a really fun group of people from Europe. And after the event, we all decided as a group to go to another location. But on the way, we stopped at a pizzeria, right? A pizza restaurant. The restaurant was closing up for the night, but the owner was really nice and decided to stay open to make us some pizzas. So we went inside, grabbed a table, and when we were done eating, we split the tab evenly, right? We split the bill. We divided the check equally among us. One guy in the group was chosen to leave the tip. After we had paid and started walking down the street, the waitress who had served us came out screaming. She was throwing out F-bombs, right? Saying the F-word. Within all of the swearing, I heard her say, "We stayed open for you and you left a 50-cent tip. Are you effing kidding me?" And I felt so awkward. The guy that paid the 50-cent tip felt incredibly awkward. It was horrible. And I remember thinking, okay, I am the American in this group. I'm going to take one for the team. And so I went back and paid, I don't know, like $8 or $10, whatever it was, directly to that waitress. And yeah, I know she was overreacting, but for a quick second, I thought maybe it's for a legitimate reason. Maybe she needed the money to pay for her food or for her rent. I don't know. Anyway, she took the money. And then as I was walking away, I asked myself, am I supplying a huge portion of this person's salary? If so, why am I, as the customer, deciding how much this person makes? Shouldn't the restaurant owner be in charge of this? So I was born and raised in California, and for the first time in my entire life, I started thinking about our tipping culture. And the questions honestly started pouring. Where did this tipping culture come from? And when did it go from being sort of voluntary to becoming mandatory in a way? I mean, at least to not get dirty looks. More importantly, would it ever be possible for the U.S. to transition into a no tipping system? Have restaurants ever done that? And so I didn't know. And so let's try and answer some of these questions together. Where does tipping come from? As the story goes, back in the 1850s or 1860s, wealthy Americans discovered the tradition of tipping while vacationing in Europe. According to time.com, there was a custom that originated in medieval times where masters gave their servants a little extra cash for their exceptional service. Americans brought this custom back to the United States. Masters would give their servants or slaves tips for good work. And thing is, this tipping culture didn't stop when slavery was abolished in the 1800s under the presidency of Abraham Lincoln. Tipping stuck around. And the thing is, many of the former slaves, once freed, went off and looked for jobs. Many of them found blue-collar work, mostly in the service industry, working as waiters or waitresses. The employers often gave them no salary at all, ensuring them that customers would leave tips, right? Because that was the custom at the time. That's what they had been doing since the early 1850s when these wealthy Americans brought the custom back. Which was true, customers continued to leave tips. But a lot of people were very critical about this. Since the labor itself was unpaid by the employer, would that make it a continuation of slavery, just under a different name? Some said yes. Some said, no, it's different. At least it's their free will to work there. That just reminded me of Game of Thrones and Daenerys Targaryen. Anyway, tipping became controversial. A lot of states started getting rid of tipping. The state of Iowa actually banned it in 1915, saying that anyone caught tipping would be fined or even sent to jail. Right? And that's, once again, according to Time.com. However, as time passed, it remained a tradition across the states. Restaurant owners, or what we call restaurateurs, realized it was an easy way to run restaurants and to keep restaurants going. If customers are willing to tip, then in a way, they're kind of subsidizing a part of the restaurant. They're contributing to the pay of the workers. So what's it like nowadays? Can you still legally earn $0 and only tips as a waiter or waitress in the U.S.? No, not really. By law, every individual must get paid the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25 per hour. However, if an employee is tipped, the employer may give only $2.13 per hour, but they must make at least another $5.12 per hour from tips so that they earn at least the federal minimum wage. Right. So the decision to offer more than $2.13 per hour is made by each individual state. So on the Department of Labor's website, you can actually check how much each state gives to its employees before tips. 17 of the 50 states only pay $2.13 per hour. Most of these states are in the South. So that legacy of $0 per hour and just tips kind of has this continuation today. 26 of the 50 offer a wage higher than $2.13 per hour. Just 7 of the 50 make sure that all restaurant owners pay their employees minimum wage before tips. And those states are Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Montana, and Minnesota. So that's a small group. But what does this all mean as a customer, right? At least you know that everyone, everywhere is getting the federal minimum wage. Maybe just that, right? The federal minimum wage might not be enough to afford the cost of living in certain places. And so since they rely on tips, if they don't get them, then it could be somewhat problematic. So can you go to any restaurants in the U.S. without any tips? I had to look this up. And in fact, you can actually go on Instagram and use the hashtag #NoTipping to find some of these restaurants. Or also, there's a Reddit feed specifically on this topic. Turns out, one of the leaders in pushing for restaurants to get rid of tips and offer higher wages and benefits, such as health insurance and stuff, is Danny Meyer, who owns a ton of restaurants in New York, including one you might be familiar with called Shake Shack, right? So in an interview with him on CNBC about getting rid of tipping, he stated, "What the tipping culture does is create a situation where tipped employees are now making 350% of what non-tipped employees can make. And that disparity just is not fair. Especially if you have a culture that says we are for our employees, you can't only be for half of your employees." He's one of the individuals who has stuck to his beliefs. Many other restaurant owners, on the other hand, tried to switch over to a no-tipping system, didn't do so well, and switched back to the tipping system. So what happened? Why did some of these businesses fail? Well, there was high turnover. Waiters and waitresses prefer working in places that have a tipping system. No tipping businesses also lost business. But why? For me, that seemed a little bit surprising. So in a study published in 2018, two researchers, Lynn and Brewster, who are apparently specialists on tipping, I didn't know there was such a thing, but they looked at why consumers were angered by increased prices and posted poor ratings of these no-tip restaurants online. Well, to understand the study, you need to know that in order to pay higher wages and benefits, restaurants needed to do either one of two things: increase food prices or add mandatory gratuity, right? Which is, gratuity just means tip, mandatory gratuity to the bill. So as strange as it seems, people were more willing to pay $16 for a meal and a $4 tip than a $20 meal and no tip, right? For some reason, the divided amount seems cheaper. People see that $20 and get the impression that something is too expensive. Lynn and Brewster also found that people hate mandatory service added to a bill. It's too much of a surprise right at the end of a meal when they're done eating, then they end up leaving the restaurant unhappy. So at the end of the day, although some restaurants have successfully implemented no tipping policies, the lower to mid-range restaurants may suffer some of the biggest losses by switching to a no tipping system. So since tipping is here to stay, let's learn some etiquette for tipping. As a general rule of thumb, in all 50 states, we tip between 15% and 20% for services. So when we go to a restaurant, we pay 15% as a minimum and 20% for great service. This can vary a little bit based on the state you're in. For example, I've heard that 20% is standard in Colorado, but if you stick to the 15 to 20% range, you should be fine. Nowadays, these amounts are often written at the bottom of your receipt, so you don't even have to do the math. One thing some newbies to the US don't know is that tips should be made on the sale of items before tax or pre-tax. If you're paying tip after tax or on the taxed amount, you're overcharging yourself, which I'm sure your waiter or waitress will be very pleased about. So pay attention to that. Sometimes you'll notice at restaurants there is mandatory gratuity for groups larger than, I don't know, let's say six people or eight people. Gratuity means tip, as I mentioned before, and that means that you're required to pay a certain tip for that group. A lot of times, at least in California, around me, it's around 18%. If it says service charge or gratuity included, it means they've already added the extra tip into your receipt, into your final price, and you don't need to pay extra. Okay, once again, that's service charge or gratuity included. Now, let's say you go to a restaurant and you order food to go. Should you pay a tip? Well, I think the consensus here is it's up to you. I personally don't, because nobody did anything beyond their regular job to provide service to me. If you see a tip jar at the register, well, you can also choose if you would like to tip in there. Most people just drop their change or add a dollar or so. What about other services? Online, it says that, you know, standards between 10 and 20%. For hairstylists, manicurists, taxi drivers, etc. For some reason, at a bar, it's less common to do math on the total of each drink. If a bartender serves you a drink at a bar, you can leave $1 per drink under $10 and $2 if the drink is over $10, or if the bartender spent a lot of time making it, like for example, a cocktail. There are many other services you can tip for, but the past examples I gave, I think, are the most common ones that have standard pricing. I think Americans' tipping habits on everything else might differ. So thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope you learned a little bit more about the tipping culture in the US. If you have heard of a no tipping restaurant that is doing really well, I would love, love, love to know about it. You can write to me on Instagram at American English Podcast or send an email to me at theamericanenglishpodcast@gmail.com. If you do that, please let me know where you're from. I'd love to hear from you. And until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.